Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I will tell you this, that, it's humbling and overwhelming at times to think that, you know, as a pastor or a person in ministry, that you get up and you teach the Word of God or proclaim it, proclaim Him. And, there's just days you feel inadequate, to be honest with you. Sometimes in gifting and talent and ability, and other times, like this morning, I'll just tell you, Mother's Day is always one of the hardest for me. And sometimes I will have my wife speak or someone else. And the reason that Mother's Day is so difficult for me is I will never be a mother. And I have no regrets about that. And so, what do you say to moms? Well, I was blessed to grow up with my biological mother, and she's still alive, and her relationship with me is good, mine with her. So I've reaped the benefit of having a mom, and one that I knew, one who was my biological mom and was a real mother. Her role in my life was a mom. Some, they don't know their biological mom, but they were blessed to have a woman in their life that was a mother to them and is their mother because they mothered you. Also, have watched my wife be a mother for 22 and a half years. Is that right, Brittany? You're the oldest, you're 22. Expecting your second. Hallelujah. And so I've made some observations and see the benefit of having a mom. And so you feel a little inadequate in the sense of telling mothers anything. But I guess what I want to share with you is not necessarily my words, but some things that come from the Scripture for you. And I'm gonna be brief. This is Mother's Day, and I know that you have plans, and I'm not really aware of what time it is. Don't tell me. But I want to share with you a couple of things from Scripture. You know, in your bulletin this morning, there was a Scripture there from Proverbs 31. You have your bulletin? Do you have it by you? Open it up. Why don't we read it together out loud? It starts with the word her. See it there? Proverbs 31, verse 2. Do you see it? Why don't we do this as we read it? If you are a mom, I would like you to stand up. Yeah, stand up throughout this room. Yeah, you can clap for them. Stay standing, mothers. Yeah, stay standing, mothers. Now, hand the bullet. If you're a mom and you're holding a bulletin, hand it to the person next to you. Yeah. Because we are going to read this to you. All right? We're going to read it together. Here we go. Proverbs 31, verse 2. Her children rise up. Come on. Okay. I would have held a rehearsal yesterday, but you wouldn't have come. Mom, stay standing. I'm going to read this to you. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Mothers in this place, I want to tell you from New Life Church, and as the pastor of this church, we are grateful for you. And I know there are days that maybe you carry that you wish you would have done better as a mom. Maybe you have some regrets. Maybe you've had days where you felt like the call of motherhood was too much, and you knew it was too late to reverse it. I want you to know that the call of motherhood and being a mother, this church looks at as a high honor and a high calling and with great purpose, and that I know it is a thankless calling. But I want you to know that you are respected for being a mom. Whether you have another job or whether your education or anything else, I want you to know that you are first a mother. And we want to tell you, Happy Mother's Day. You don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 2, you'll remember the character Moses. Well, he was born to, obviously, he was Hebrew. He didn't know that till later in life, because there was an edict that from the Pharaoh, who was concerned about a child rising up to be king and take his place. And so he had all the children, young children, murdered, those women who were pregnant. He had their wombs destroyed. It was a horrific thing to even read about. And Jochebed is Moses' mother. She hid him as long as she could for 3 months, made the basket, put him in the river, had her daughter, Moses' older sister, kind of follow along in the reeds as well as she could to see what could happen. And she took this child and put him in the hands of God. The only thing I want to mention about that is mothers. All the nurturing, all the caring, all the protecting, all the providing, all the things that you do for your children, for your child. And yet the greatest thing you can do is to entrust God with this child. That his direction will be like a river and lead this child where they should go in their life. All that you've put into them, all that you've provided, and all the care and everything and instruction. We will have been, it all will be insufficient if we don't build it off the foundation of entrusting our children to the Lord. So take her model, her example, and say, I'm going to trust you with my child. And she sets him in the river, and of course you know the story. He ends up in Pharaoh's household. And that's not really the point. I just want to build from this foundation that first and foremost, all the daily tasks and all the things you feel for your children, the first thing has to be the foundation of trusting God with your children. And trust them to the Lord. Because there will be a day where they will leave your home. And my wife and I are in the throes of that. They are leaving our home. And there's, you know, some days I look at it like there's daylight at the end of the tunnel. And there's other days where it's like, oh, it's here already. And on certain days it was like, will it ever get here? I get that. It was just yesterday. We ran to Onalaska, had a stop at Target. Sue and my daughter Brittany needed to go there, and brought little grandbaby Libby with, and Sue was carrying Elizabeth across the parking lot, and I put my arm around my daughter. I remember when we used to go to Target when I'd carry her in a car seat and then hold her hand and teach her to watch for cars while I was carrying another child and Sue was pushing a stroller And we, you know, those of you who don't know us, we had 4 and 4.5 years. We're still alive. And that ride yesterday, Brittany sat in the back seat with our granddaughter, her daughter, Libby. I'd look in the rearview mirror. And there were moments where she knew I was looking at her, but there's other moments, or maybe she didn't. And I see in this beautiful young adult, 22-year-old face, the image of the little girl. It gets here quick. And there's days where they will leave our house. And then you've got no choice but to trust God with your kids. It becomes easier to do at that point in life when you have entrusted them to God all along. So I want to encourage you as moms, as you pour your life out for them, let it be from this foundation first, that each of them, you take time to entrust them to the Lord, not just in a prayer, but in your heart, as you continue to raise them and labor for them. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and this is really what I want to read to you. I thought this looked blurry. One of the lenses came out. I was thinking, wait a minute. I don't know where it's at. Oh, here it is. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, I may only read this once. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. How on the day that you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, the Lord said to me, gather the people to me that I may let them hear my words, so that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. This is what I want to share with moms, and actually it applies to all of us in this room, because some of you, you're going to have your turn at being a mom or a dad. You have your turn at it. And this really applies to dads too, but I'm going to share it specifically to moms. What he's telling them is, remember what God has done, and tell your kids, and tell your children's children what God has done. In other words, what your God experiences have been in your life. You do so much for your children. I mean, you don't even have to think about it. You walk through the house and you just begin to do things. You pick up things, you clean things, you move things. And all of this simultaneously while you are on the phone. Talking to one of your kids. You don't have to think, and you do it. And all of this while, you know, things are being made in the kitchen, and you're solving problems, and you're doing homework. I mean, our children in their grades, I'm grateful they all have decent grades, struggled here and there, but they all have decent grades, but I want you to know who the honor roll goes to. My wife. My son called home just a couple weeks ago, or came home and said, hey, Mom, we got a project. We got a project in one of my classes. Like, Mom, you and I, the team. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, I've got this project. It was, we've got this project. My wife has had more toothpicks glued to her fingers over the years of raising these children, doing these, do a bridge with toothpicks. Anyhow, all of these things happening. What I want to remind you to include as a mother is to tell your children your God experiences. That's what he's instructing them to do. Remember what I have done and tell your children and tell your children's children. Tell your God experiences to your kids. It's as important as giving them food in this life. Tell them your God experiences. You don't have to preach at them and you don't have to tell them all the stories in one sitting. But you let it spill out of your life. And you know what? Sometimes it happens by his leading in an accident, but you and I have to make sure that we take the initiative to tell them. Maybe your children are grown up and out of the house. It's not too late. I know it's different because you can't take them and sit them down and say, you're going to sit here. You know, they're across the country maybe or living somewhere else and they have the whole, I don't want to hear it. You still can take the initiative. The approach might be different and you can't sit them down in a chair or, you know, manipulate them with candy. We have a responsibility as they grow up in our homes to tell them our God experiences. Do your children know how you came to faith in Christ? Do they know that part of your testimony? Do they know simple Bible verses? Do they know biblical living principles? Do they know why you live the way you live? Could they answer those questions? You don't want them to buckle under peer pressure, but have you told them how and why? Based upon this, why it's important not to conform to the patterns of this world. Do they understand from a biblical perspective that life is bigger than middle school? Life is bigger than high school. And your lifelong friends may not be from high school. So don't be overly concerned about what each of them think or their approval for you. Have we taught our children how to treat men? Mothers, have you taught your children how to treat men? Not based upon your experiences with them, based upon God's word. Have you taught them how to treat women based upon God's word? Have you taught them what to look for in a spouse based upon God's word? Do they know what they're supposed to be looking for? Because if you don't take the time to tell them or show them, they're going to get their idea from Hollywood and from Cosmo or Red Book or whatever those books are. They're going to get their idea. If we don't tell them and show them, they're going to get their idea. They're going to get it from somewhere of who to look for in a spouse. I don't want my son to get that what he's supposed to look for in a spouse is found in my understanding in annual issue of Sports Illustrated. She's got to be deeper than a page. And generally speaking, in fact, I don't think I've ever seen it. My mother or my wife ever clean a house in a bathing suit. In fact, in light of my whole life, very few minutes have been lived upon a beach. Have we taught them what to look for? Proverbs 31, and I'm not going to read it, but it's an oracle that came from the king, but it was read to him by his mother. It's, you know, she works her way through this oracle telling him and gets to a point like, who can find a good wife? And then she begins to tell about what a good and noble woman is. What to look for, what to become, what to become. Have we taught them how to worship? I mean, we're supposed to tell them our God experience, what God has done in our life, what God has done in His Word, and teach these principles, but have we taught them the practice of how to worship? Not just read them, oh, praise the Lord, oh, my soul, but how? How to give? Do we teach them how to give? Have we taught them what God thinks about the things we face in life and how we're supposed to think about those things? We taught them how to pray. Have we taught them how to intercede like a Canaanite woman did in Matthew 15? She has a daughter who is possessed of a devil, an evil spirit, and she goes to Jesus and says, heal my daughter. And he doesn't acknowledge her. She says, please, heal my daughter. You can do this. And he says, I've only come for the lost sheep of Israel. She was a Canaanite. She comes from idol worshipers. Some of the roots of Baal. Pagan worship. He says, I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel. Don't steal their bread. And she says to him, oh, but Jesus, even the dog gets a few crumbs that fall from the table. She didn't care about her reputation. She didn't care about how she was going to be treated or who was there. It was about seeing her daughter delivered by the power of God. She knew how to intervene, intercede, and step in. Do we do that for our children? And not only do we do that for them, have we taught them how? Have we taught them how to intercede? How to lay hold of God? Have we taught them that? Or are we just kind of doing it behind the scenes on their behalf for their life? But how about teaching them to do it? Have they seen it? In us as moms and dads. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, I didn't have a Christian mom, or I didn't have a very good mom, or I didn't even know my mom, and nobody in my life could I even call mom. I have no example. Listen, I got good news for you. Those examples and the mentoring, I believe in it, and it's good. And sometimes we feel like we have an advantage. But I want you to know something. Everything you need to know is right here. Eve, who is called the mother of all living things, she had no example in her life to be a mother, and yet she gave birth to boys. She didn't know how to be a mom. So understand, that growing up without a mom or dad, as painful as it is, or growing up with a mom and dad who weren't very good at it. I don't know what it is to walk in your shoes. I know I've heard a lot of stories being a pastor. I know I've walked into some of those homes. I know that I've walked into some of those relationships over the years. And I can gain an outside view. I don't know what it is to be in your shoes, but I want to tell you this harsh thing. And it's not harsh and condemning, but I want you to be inspired by the reality of it. That though you may have not had an example, you cannot use it for an excuse not to be a good mom or good dad yourself. Eve had no mentor, and yet she was a mom. I got news for you. Some of you who haven't known a parent, heartbreaking as it is, there are some who have had one, and they were horrific at it, and it has created more problems for them than even having or going without. It's not comparing who's in the worst situation. It's about recognizing God and trusting Him, finding out how to navigate in this life with the calling that we have as a mom, as a dad, as a son, as a daughter, as a friend, as a Christian, as a boss, an employer, a worker on the floor. Doesn't matter. He knows us and knows the way. And I want to encourage all of us to follow His word. Moms, let it start with the foundation of entrusting your children to God before they leave your home. Of all the things you do for them, we are called, directed, blatantly told to tell our children our God experiences. And to tell our children's children. I've thought about this as being a new grandpa. There, I admitted it. I've thought about this over months. Periodically. Even when little Libby isn't around. I've thought about the days where she will grow. Where she will understand English. Where she will be able to listen. She will be able to ask questions. She will be able to talk back. She will have the ability to express her comprehension. When I get to tell her some of my God experiences. Because I'm supposed to tell my children's children. Still want to tell some of them to my own kids. Haven't told them all. Haven't told all the God experiences. Still want to have some. But I get to tell my children's children. It's just as important. And it has to have as much purpose. As much intention and be on the checklist. Like the other things of doing the laundry, cleaning the house, packing the lunches, money for the field trip. Don't touch that. Look both ways. You know, all the other stuff we do. Stay away from her. Don't talk to him. Tell the God stories. It's got to be on the list. And that's what I want you to be encouraged with today, mothers. Don't forget to tell your God stories. And if you feel like you don't have one, here, get one. Being in relationship with Him is filled with experience and experiences in our life. The prayers He heard, where you came from, how God watched over you, how God protected you, how a time where you thought God wasn't there and now when you look back, you see His hand. Tell it. It's got to be just like making the bed. I'd like the mothers one more time to stand up in this room. And I am going to ask that my wife come and pray for all of the moms. And I'm going to ask that actually you single ladies in this room who have the hope of one day being a mom, I want you to stand up too. We're going to include you in this. I don't know, some of you are like, well, I don't know, do you want to be a mom? I don't know if I want to be a mom. Stand up, let God put it in your heart. Yeah. You want to be a mom someday. Yeah. You know, for some of you, you may not have children or never had children, and now you find yourself at a place in life where it's kind of late, or you've just been single and you're not married, or, you know, I want you to know something. You still have the opportunity to mother. You have the opportunity to mother women and young girls. You can mother them. So if you're not standing up, you should be. You join us. You stand up. Let's bow our heads all over this room. Go ahead, Sue.
Jesus. First, Lord, I just humbly come to your throne, and I thank you for the calling of motherhood. I thank you for the burden. I thank you for the mantle that you placed on us as women, and that heart to nurture that's unexplainable. God, I think of all the situations that would be represented in this room. God, I lift up to you the single mothers, the grieving mothers, the grandmothers, the foster mothers, the moms who have adopted, the women who are barren. Jesus, I think of the moms of military people, God, today who have their children overseas. Lord, I have to recognize the moms who are grieving today. I think especially of the moms of those four young men, those young godly men, maybe even moms in this room who are grieving, who have lost children before their time, or the moms who have prodigals, children who maybe are far from you. Lord, just the things that pull at our mothers' hearts, and I just lift all those situations and needs up to you today. God, it's such an awesome thing. But most of all, Lord, today I pray that for each of these women, that they would just develop that relationship with you. Because God, your word says, and I declare it over these women, it says in Isaiah, but they who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I know, God, the sometimes how hard it is to be a mom and how worn out we feel and how we feel pulled at every side. And so today, God, I just pray that more than anything, I believe this, that it's our relationship with you, Jesus, that you would pour into these women in this room and these young women wisdom, oh God, that they would know balance in their life, that they would know priority in their life, God, that you would give them a grace to let go when they need to let go. Jesus, that they would develop such a close relationship with you, that from that would outpour all the things that they need to be the moms that you've called them to be. I pray that you go with each one today, that you just meet them wherever they're at, whatever their needs are, whatever their hurts are, whatever their burdens are, even in the joys and the wonderful things about motherhood, God. Just be with each one. I thank you for these women. I thank you. I pray that you just bless them now. Encourage them in their spirits, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.